you're doing, Rangers? All right. Hey, if you would stand to your feet, we're going to worship God this morning. Because how many of you know the whole reason that we're here and doing what we do is to give God praise and to raise up the next generation of world changers? Amen? I said amen.
Yeah.
thank you so much for your goodness in this house. Where two or three are gathered, you're here in our midst. And this is no longer just a hotel hall. It's a place of worship. And Father, we adore you this morning. We come before you at the beginning of our day, and we just give you praise because you are the beginning and the end, the author of our faith. You are alive. You're doing a new thing in the hearts and the lives of each and every person in this room, whether we acknowledge it or see it or not. Here in this place this morning, in your presence, all things are possible. And before we go through an agenda of things to do and things to plan and things to vision and to dream and to see, we consecrate this whole day to you. We lay it down and surrender and ask that you would have your way, that you would speak through the hearts and the lives of these leaders, that you would breathe in new ideas, that you would give them the words to say to this next generation of young people, of world changers. Help us not to underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in these kids. Now we give you all of this. Let it not be about the name of Royal Rangers. Let it not be about the name of the Assemblies of God. Let it not be about the name of our ministries, but let it be about Jesus. Thank you, God. As we continue to worship you this morning, God, speak to our hearts. We thank you so much, Jesus.
Where your love reigns. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How many are happy to be here this morning? ¿Cuántos están contentos de estar aquí esta mañana? Gloria a Dios. Praise the Lord. I praise God because His presence is here this morning. Amen. Can you feel the power of God here? ¿Puedes sentir el poder de Dios aquí? I want to share a little scripture this morning before we open the National Royal Ranger Conference in prayer. If you have your Bibles in the book of Psalms 105, I'm going to read from 1 to 4. And it says like this: Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell all the wonderful acts, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Alabar a Jehová, invocar su nombre, dar a conocer sus obras en los pueblos. Cantarles, cantarles salmos, alba de todas las maravillas, gloriando en su santo nombre, alegres en el corazón de los que buscan a Jehová. Busca a Jehová y, poder, y su poder. Busca siempre su rostro. We're here to worship God. We're here to praise God. We're here to tell others about His grace. We're here to receive His strength and to seek Him all day. Estamos aquí para alabar al Señor, a pedir su fortaleza, a compartir su palabra con otros y a buscar su rostro. Amen. We're here to praise. And this morning, let's just open up our hearts and let's let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do with us today and the rest of this week. Amen. Vamos a dejar que el Espíritu Santo haga lo que Él quiere hacer en la vida de cada uno de nosotros. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise You right now, Lord. We give You glory, Jesus. We praise You for Your presence, Lord. And Father, I pray for the anointing of Your power upon this conference, Lord. And I pray that You would just touch every leader here this morning, Lord, in a very special way, God. We praise You, Lord. We give You glory. And I pray for the anointing of Your servant, God. And we give You all the honor and glory. En esta mañana te alabamos, Señor, y te adoramos, Cristo, por tu presencia. Pido la unción sobre esta conferencia, Señor, que tú te muevas de una manera especial. Toca los corazones de cada día en esta mañana, Señor, y durante esta semana. Te alabamos, Señor, y te adoramos. Te damos toda la honra y la gloria. Y el pueblo de Dios dice, and the people of God say, glory be to our King. Amen.
Hallelujah. Good morning, team. How are you this morning? Awesome. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Thank you for coming out and being part of what's going on here today and the next 2-3 days. Hallelujah. You appreciate the worship team? Would you let them know that? Thank you. Stick around. Hallelujah. They're going to stick around for a moment because I asked them to do something with us and to help us here in just a moment. Again, welcome to Lead 16. I'm so thrilled to be here. Yeah! I want to, yeah. All right, Saul, thank you. All right, now that we're going to name him or point him out or anything, I want to take a moment and seriously, I want to thank you for making the effort to come. And I mean that with all of my heart. I know that it takes sacrifice on many of your parts. I know that you've put a lot of effort and energy into coming here. This doesn't happen. You have to take off time from work. Some of you put your own money into traveling here. And so I just want to take a moment and as we get ready to start this thing, say thank you. I appreciate all that you do for this ministry. I appreciate all that you do to make this ministry happen, because you know what? What we do here isn't life and death, is it? It's more important than that. It's eternity. And you make an investment into that. And so God only knows what it took for some of you to get here. And I know as the week leading up to this, I was just really impressed in my heart to just take a moment and tell you that this morning as we get ready to start. Is just because I, you know, I get the emails from guys who cannot make it, or commanders who email me, and I know individuals like Tom in Illinois who this is a heavy season for his work, and he never gets to be able to be here and things like that. And when they're not here and when you're not here, you're missed, and we notice that. And so again, for each and every one of you who got here, I want to say thank you for doing that. I know there were a lot of different things. Mike Simmons was dealing with a high pregnancy risk or a high-risk pregnancy of his daughter, but the good news is she had her baby, and mom and baby are doing good, so we're thrilled for that. Amen. Amen. Jason and Amanda Bone had another baby. Where you at, Jason? There he is. And he came out, and he's here. You know what that means for us, though, don't you? Twice as many pictures on Facebook. So that's okay. We love seeing those pictures, Jason. Keep them coming. So anyway, seriously, I want to say thank you for your effort and your energy to be here. You know, the New Testament church was birthed, and the greatest evangelistic thrust that was ever launched was launched when God's people gathered together. And the word says they came together in one place for one purpose, and that was so they could wait on the Lord. And what I want to do is I want to take a few moments right now, and that's not right now, but... gentlemen, in a little bit. I want to take a few moments right now, and I want us to spend the next few minutes, and can we just spend some time in prayer? I know many of you have come in. Some of you came in late last night. Some of you got just a couple hours of sleep. I know the guys in the room next door to me were up really, really late. I enjoyed every minute of it. But I want us, as we get ready to kick off Lead 16, can we just take some time and go to the Lord, and let's just pray his favor on this place? You know, there's so many things that we can do, so many things that we need to do that are important, but nothing's more important than having God's presence and favor. Amen? Amen. So let's just take a few moments. And for some of you, this is going to be new to you. That's okay. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to guide you. But here's what we're going to do. The worship team, a couple of them are coming up, and they're just going to play some music in the background. I'm going to invite you, if you want to stand up and walk around, feel free to do that. But we're going to take about 10 minutes, and we're just going to go after God. And I'll direct you, there's a couple of different areas that I want us to pray about specifically and lift up to the Lord. But let's just start this conference right. Can you do that with me? Let's all stand together. If you prefer to sit when you're praying, that's fine. You can sit when you're praying. Do whatever you can. But here's what I'm going to ask. Participate. I'm going to ask that we, with one voice and one heart, that we go after God and just ask God to bless this time. Can we do that? Let's just begin right now and just lift our voices. And let's thank God for the opportunity we have to be here. Let's thank him for the chance that we are here and that we get to be part of whatever he's going to do this weekend. And then as we pray for that, I want you to begin to pray for those who couldn't be here. If you know of anyone with specific needs, I want you to start lifting them up to the Lord. Let's just do that right now. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here in this place in your name, that we can stand before you, God, and we can worship you. Lord Jesus, none of us had to be persecuted like much of the church around the world, but we came here not in fear of our lives, but Lord, we came in here with an expectancy and with an encouragement that God, you're going to do something. And so we invite your presence into this place right now. Holy Spirit, we've worshiped you. We've invited you. And your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And so, Lord, we just welcome you into this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. God, if you're not here, we're just spending time. If you're not here, oh God, we're just going through the motions. And Lord, this ministry isn't about program. This ministry isn't about advancement. This ministry isn't even about this conference. This ministry is about the presence of God and touching young lives. And so, Father, we just present ourselves to you right now. We lay ourselves before you right now. Lord, we pray for our brothers and our sisters who couldn't be here. Lord Jesus, you know each and every one of them personally by name. You know the sacrifices, the things that they're going through. There are some that are going through heavy times, and so, Father, we just lift them up to you right now. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just reach down. Lift up your brothers right now. Come on. If you know someone specifically, call out their name to God. If you know someone who has a very specific need back at home, a commander or an individual, would you just lift them up to the Lord right now? Let them feel our prayers as we gather around them right now. Lord, I just pray that you reach down and you touch them. I pray for Tom. God, as he's there and he's preparing taxes and he's having to do that. Just touch them with your spirit, Lord. Touch them physically in your body and strengthen them. Those who need encouragement, let there be encouragement that flows in their hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Can we take a moment now, guys, and can we pray for our leadership, our fellowship? If you're with the Assemblies of God, pray for our Assemblies of God leadership. If you're IPHC or Church of God or whatever denomination, would you begin? Let's just lift up our leadership. The leadership of our fellowships have a lot to do. They have a huge responsibility as we navigate and as we go through the new challenges of where our culture and our world is today. But can we just pray for God to give them wisdom and for his anointing to be upon him and just lift him up? George Wood is our superintendent. Let's just pray for him, Lord. We just pray for George Wood, Dr. Wood. We ask, Holy Spirit, that your hand would just be upon him. And he has that task of leading our fellowship, Lord Jesus, here in the Assemblies of God. And whoever your superintendent is, if you're not with the Assemblies, I want you to just lift him up. I pray, God, that you would reach down and you would touch them. That you would touch them, Lord, and you would anoint them. Just recently, we had opportunity to work and talk with Dr. Floyd of the Southern Baptist Convention. God, I pray that you would touch him. I pray that, God, as we move together to bring your gospel and your word to this world, that, Father, there would be a spirit of unity and there would be your hand that would flow through us. Lord Jesus, our assistant superintendent, Alton Garrison, we lift him up to you. We pray, God, for all the responsibilities and the different things that he oversees, that, God, you would there be there too. And he joins together with our superintendent and they make decisions that your hand would be upon him. Watch over them as they travel. Watch over them, Lord, in all that they do. I pray for Doug Clay, our secretary, our treasurer, God. Lord, would you just give him wisdom and finances? Lord, I know that sometimes finances are a challenge. They are for all of us. But yet your word says that you enable the ministry and that you are the God of cattle on a thousand hills. And as I heard someone say, all the mineral resources beneath them. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would give them wisdom as they facilitate and as they watch over the finances. Our secretary, James Bradford, Lord, would you be with him and give him wisdom as he deals with the metrics and all the different things of our fellowship. Lord, I pray for our U.S. mission, Zolly Smith, that God, you would touch him and your hand would be upon him and you would watch over him as he reaches and as the ministry and missions surround our nation, that there would be insight and oversight, Lord, that would be given and a releasing and an empowering. And for Greg Mundus, our world missions director. Father, as we continue to reach the world, oh, we just lift them up to you right now. I'm going to ask you right now to pray for your pastors. Pray for those people back at home, your church, the pastors of your district, your super. Would you just lift them up right now? And would you begin to ask God just to bless them as they lead your churches? Father, as we gathered here, it's not just about what we do, but we are part of a whole. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, we just pray that you would just cause your favor to rest upon the pastors of our churches. Lord, would you just guide them and direct them, and would you cause your hand and your grace to just be upon them, O Lord? Father, I just pray that you would just let your presence and your spirit and your anointing rest upon them. And Father, as they prepare not only the messages for Sunday, but the ministries of that local body, which is your body, O God, I pray that, Lord Jesus, you would just give them wisdom. I pray that, Lord Jesus, leaders, we would be a resource to them. As leaders, we would be a strength to them. As leaders, that we would, Lord God, this ministry would be the Aaron and the Hur for Moses, Lord God. As we lift their hands and together we cause your word to be proclaimed in that city, in that town, in that neighborhood, in that community where we are right now. Lord, we lift them up and we just pray your hand and your presence and your spirit to be there. Let that happen. Would you begin to pray also for our ministry leaders? On the national level here in Royal Rangers, we need your prayer. Would you just begin to call out to heaven for wisdom, for the executive committee, for your regional leaders, your regional staff, and for your sectional and your district staff? Could we just lift those guys up right now? I want you just to begin to pray for them. Lord Jesus, you see those who are in this ministry, who have positions of responsibility and positions of leadership. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that even in this place, your spirit would just descend upon them. I pray, God, a refreshing. I pray, God, that the weight that they carry would just be lifted off of them, O Lord. Father, this is your ministry. This is your work, and we present ourselves to you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the executive committee. I thank you for their commitment and their dedication, for every one of our regional leaders. For our district leaders that are here in this place, Lord God, for every man and every woman. Lord, would you just bless them? Would you cause your presence and your grace just to flow upon them? Oh, Now, would you turn to the person that's on your left and your right, and would you begin to pray for them? Would you begin to pray that God would just anoint them in whatever He has planned for them this week? I pray, I want you just to begin to pray that God would pour out His Spirit, that whatever it is that they need to hear, that the Holy Spirit would quicken their ears to hear it. Whatever it is that they need, if it's a touch of support, if a touch of encouragement, that this weekend they would get here. That when we leave this place, we don't leave this place the same way we walked into it. But when we leave this place because we've been with the body of Christ and we've been with God Himself. Just begin to pray for them right now. God, I pray for the person on the left. I pray, Holy Spirit, Your anointing upon them. I pray You quicken their spirit today. I pray whatever they brought into this place with them, we lay it at Your feet right now today. And I pray, God, that You would just cause that to be taken care of. Even now, while we're here, Lord, You take care. Because when we work, we work. But when we pray, You work. And God, we want You to work on our behalf. Do Your job, Lord God. Do that which You've ordained to do. Do that which You've set out ahead of time to do. Don't let us pick up that which belongs to You, oh God. But we give it to You. We give it to You. The person on my right, God, I just pray for that individual. That, Lord Jesus, You would touch him. That You would touch them, oh God. I pray that this weekend, that even this message, Lord, would speak into their heart. That, Lord, everything that happens here, that the fellowship and the coming together, Lord Jesus, Your will would be done. Oh, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that we can stand in Your presence. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the privilege. Thank You that today we can take this time. And Lord, while the agenda is full, and while there's a lot to do and the schedule is tight, Lord, yet at the same time, there is nothing more important than what we did right now. And so, Father, we just stand here in Your presence and we bask in Your glory. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for the privilege of each and every man and woman who's here today, for helping them get here. For, Lord God, the safety and the travels, that the weather, Lord God, cooperated, even though there were some tough times, yet every one of them got it. We thank You. Thank You for the blessing of our family, of our ministry, of our friends and our brothers and sisters. We exalt You this morning and we praise You. Would you just lift your voice one more time and thank the Lord? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Bless You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. There's some tissues on my chair. Would you bring those up here, please? Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Brenton. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey guys, Brenton Miles is going to be with us at Camparama, and so he's here with us this week so that you can get a chance, so you get a chance to kind of get to know him and spend some time. You have a booth out there, don't you?
No. We'll be out there.
They'll be out there, so make sure you spend some time and get to see him. Thank you, Brenton. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for allowing me to just take some time and for us to get in the presence of God. We have a lot to do, but you know what? I just felt impressed in my heart that we needed to do this. And wow, you know what? There's a lot of times, there's a lot we can do. But I think it was a Maxwell. I don't know who it was. You know, John Maxwell says, the first time I give credit, the second time I say, I always hear it said. And the third time I say, I always say. So I always say, when when man works, man works. But when man prays, God works. Yes. Amen? That's a good saying. And then when we need to keep in our minds and in our hearts, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our theme this year, in one accord, is from the book of Acts. We pull that right out of there. As Pentecostals, we believe wholeheartedly that God has given us a gift that is subsequent to salvation. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. It means we haven't even thought it up yet, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Have you ever heard that verse before? I'm sure you have. And you know, many times when we hear that verse, we hear it in the context of what's going to happen when we get to the other side. We hear it in the context of what it's going to be like in heaven. And we relate that to the glory that awaits us. However, the next verse is really important because that blows that away. Because here's what Paul says in verse number 10. He says, but we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. We know these things because God has showed them to us. The Apostle Paul had been given a privilege of not only living during the beginning of the church. Wow, what a time that must have been. You know, we look at that and sometimes I think, boy, that would have been awesome to be there, but maybe not so much. I kind of like where I'm at right now. But he was able to live through the beginning of the church, and he was divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit to reveal the truths of God's plan that had been hidden until that time. God has a plan. And this morning, I want to remind you that God has a plan. He has something that he wants to do. This is not something where we, you know, we sit here and we try to figure out and know the mind of God and move into that. God is not baffled. He's not standing up there scratching his head going, okay, what do we do next? Oh my goodness, the world just did this. That's going on in the election. What are we going to do? Oh my goodness. No, he knows. He has a plan. The word says that he reveals that. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 3 says. He states this, my task, this is Paul speaking, my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Wow. I pray that you don't get so inoculated by religion that this doesn't stir your spirit. I pray that you don't get so used to being in church and hearing the thing that the sacred things become common things. But that when we listen to this and we read this and we look at this, we begin to understand and realize who we are in Christ and what he has offered us and the power and the... Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? He reveals that through us. There is one person above all others who desires that you have an amazingly extraordinary life. And you know who that is? It's God. It's God. It's not your mama. It's not your wife. It's God who wants you to have an extraordinary life. Like any good father, he's a father who delights in the achievements and the happiness of his children. He wants to see us live an extraordinary life. Listen to what he says about you. Here it is in chapter 3, verse number 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Listen to the rest of this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. The work that is within you. God has a work that he wants to do. A work that he's wanting to go through in our lives. And we need this power. Next to the presence of God, the greatest resource that the Royal Ranger Ministry has is an average, ordinary person like you and like me. An individual who is resourced, who is filled, who's anointed by the Spirit of God. We are the source that God uses to make a difference. You see, the strength of this ministry, I shared this with you last time I stood on this platform, but the strength of this ministry is its people. It's its people. It's not our programs. It's not our merits and our advancements and our patrols. Those are the vehicles we use. And you know what? I will drill this into you over and over and over again until you understand it. They're the vehicles we use, and it's important we get them right. But my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than the anointed presence of men and women like ourselves who week after week, Wednesday night, Sunday night, faithfully get into those rooms and begin to speak truth into those boys, begin to speak truth into that generation, and thereby making a change. Let's keep the right thing. You see, our program is just that. It's a program. And I'll trade you 3 Royal Ranger programs every day of the week for a room full of leaders like this who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have a heart and a passion to go after God and are anointed by God. Because we can create another program. But you know what? It's hard to find a room full of people like this who are dedicated and committed to the presence of God. What was it that Fred used to say? 200 pounds of twisted steel, 200 pounds of twisted steel empowered by the Holy Spirit with a can-do attitude. I think, did I get that right? Somebody nod at me and help me. Okay, there it was. Yeah, that's what we have. That's who we are and what we need to be doing. Here's the truth. God not only wants you to live a life that is incredibly above the top, over the top, but he's equipped you to do so. It doesn't matter who you are, how you serve in life, whether you're a school teacher, a business person, a factory worker, a student, whether you're a tradesperson, your occupation is not what's important. You were created for amazing works. And we talked about that. Ephesians says that we're his workmanship, set up, prepared to do good works. The power to accomplish great works and lead an exceptional life is not tied to your occupation, but to the disposition of your heart. Let me say that again. The power to accomplish great works and lead an exceptional life is not tied to your occupation. It's not even tied to what the ministry is that you're doing. It's tied to the disposition of your heart. Solomon said it this way: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we believe to be truth will either catapult us forward or be our limitation, regardless of what is actually true. I'll say that again. What we believe to be truth, that will either catapult us forward or it will be our limitation, regardless of what is actually true. You see, too many people today don't spend time in their word and prayer. Too many people don't spend that because they believe the lie that they've received all there is for them. They believe the lie that they're already where they are and there isn't anything else for them from God. With the exception of a few random people that somehow maybe God just shines on because somehow they're graced or somehow they're special, that they have the ability to do miracles and do different things like that. But the bulk of what God has for me, I already have. How tragic. The God who says I can do exceedingly above and beyond what you can even hope and imagine gets limited by what we think in our heart. And this morning I want to challenge you to think outside of that box. I want you to think outside of that. You see, what Satan fears more or the most are Christians discovering who God made them to be. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you because we want to open our minds. We want to think outside of the box. We want to go beyond that. But Satan fears most is that Christians discover, that you discover who God made you to be and the powers and the resources that are there. You know, that hasn't always been his plan. If you've read your history, your Bible, you know this, and we need to understand it. Until the resurrection, Satan's plan has always been to kill and destroy Jesus Christ. He thought, man, you know what? If I can take out the Son of God, this thing's dead. I've taken care of it. And so until the resurrection, that was what his focus was. His focus was to take him out. I mean, you can read the scriptures in Revelation when it talks about the red dragon and the woman who was getting ready to give birth and he's getting ready. That's all picture, metaphor of just that. He's waiting to take out the Son of God. And he thinks, man, if I can take him out, I've got this thing licked. And until the resurrection, he doesn't. And remember Carmen's song? They put him in the grave and all of a sudden, you know, the fight song, the champion. You guys remember that? Are you guys still, you know? And he knocks out Jesus and he's laying on the thing and all of a sudden the referee goes, 10, 9. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. What are you doing? You're counting the wrong way. 8. So you know what I'm, and he gets the one, and he's alive. And until that moment, he realizes he got it wrong, because that was God's plan all along. At the end of the Gospels, Christ is killed, and then to Satan's fear and disbelief, he's resurrected after 3 days. Acts, which is the start of the church, begins right there, and the devil's off his game. Until that, the objective was to destroy Christ. Now what does he do? And while he regroups and comes around with a new strategy, the church surges forward in the book of Acts. And I want you to think about that, because that's what we're doing. And when, as they do, it's incredible, because as those believers begin to surge forward, amazing things start to happen. And we don't always talk about this, and I don't know that I've ever heard anyone share this, but look what happens. The early believers have a difficult time, because as they start to move forward under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit and what God does, they start to move forward, and the world around them starts to think that they're supernatural, that they're somehow gods or deities or beings like that. In Cornelius, the officer, an officer of the most powerful and the most powerful army in the world, bows down and worships Peter and his companions. And stunned, Peter says this to him in Acts chapter 10, verse 26. Stand up. I myself am a man just like you. Later on in the city of Lystra, the mob went wild as they go in through that city, calling out, "The gods have come down. The gods have come down. These men are gods." And Paul has to correct them and say, "What are you doing? We're not gods." That's Acts chapter 14. Read it yourself and you can see that. The lame man is healed there. Paul on the island of Malta is collecting firewood. And as he's collecting firewood and putting it in there, he's bitten by a viper that jumps off. And he shakes it off and doesn't die as is expected by the inhabitants. And they jump to the conclusion in Acts chapter number 17 that he is a god. Or Acts chapter number 28 that he is a god. It's said of the early church, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Man, when the church launches and it takes off, it surges forward with a powerfulness. The early church realized the potential and the power that was theirs because of Christ. And Satan realizes his new objective has to be shutting down the believers. And so here's where I'm coming and bringing you to the point of where I'm at and in my mind and my thought. That's our battle. Is the fact that the enemy wants to shut down the believers. Because if he can stop the believer, he can stop the kingdom. He already found out that, you know what? He can't take out Christ. He can't stop God. And so he takes his attention away from Christ and he begins to focus him upon his children. That's why Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ." There's a way that seems right unto man. And so when we are talking, and even as we're moving forward, we remember, number one, first and foremost, all, we are a spiritual organization. We are a spiritual group. We are men and women who are anointed by the presence of God, led by the presence of God, and moved by the presence of God. Verse number 9 in Colossians 2 says this, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." So look at this. We are the presence of God. We have the Spirit of God inside of us, and we move. We have incredible leaders. As I met many of you this past year and I traveled around, I'm just amazed. We have an army of passionate ministers who are committed, who are hungry for God, for the presence of God. I love this morning how you went after God. Nobody had to prod you or encourage you. And you just, from the time that the music started, you were there, you were going after God. You know that. You know we can birth a brand new era in the ministry of Royal Rangers. Listen to me, guys. We can birth a brand new era in the ministry of Royal Rangers. I am thrilled and thankful for what God has done. And even this past weekend, as we put one of our beloved founders into his body into the grave, his soul and his spirit, we know is in the presence of God, and he's walking on those streets of heaven. But at the same time, amen. Amen. What a rejoicing that is for us. And we'll acknowledge him and we'll share a little more later on of what we're going to do. But you know what? Even as we did there and you saw almost a passing, if you will, of a foundational member. Yet at the same time in my heart, after having walked across this nation and traveled across this nation and spent time with many of you, I believe this. And I said this before, about it last year when I stood on this platform. And today, after having literally been in every region and in a lot of the nations of districts of this ministry, I'll say it again and I'll say it with the same conviction. And I still believe it to be true. I believe that if the Lord tarries and he allows us, the years ahead of us can be the greatest years of this ministry. I believe that Royal Rangers is not anywhere done. I believe the future of Royal Rangers is as bright and brighter than our past. I'll say it again because I don't think you believe it with me. I believe that the future of Royal Rangers is brighter than our past. And you know what? Listen to me. I understand that that's a bold statement because we've got a good past. We have a good past, but you know what? As much as I am appreciative of our past, and as much as I rejoice about our past, and I thank God for our past, I thank God for every man and woman who sacrificed and put his life on the line and sacrifices his future, his retirement, his family, whatever they did. While they did all of that, if we are looking backwards, we'll never move forward. And you know what? So I celebrate that, but I know that the greatest days are still ahead. You see, guys, God did not call us out of other ventures. He doesn't ask us to give up our Wednesday nights and our Sunday nights. to sacrifice or spend hours teaching and leading activities, to be part of a mediocre, I remember when, let's hope and maintain type of ministry. What we did here the first 10 minutes of this meeting was intentional. What we did here in the beginning, because take that and multiply it by 10 days. And that's how the greatest ministry this world has ever began was launched, the New Testament church. And you know that story. Now here's my question. My question to you is, what if there was something that was essential to the full release of that power? Something that if we don't have it, if we don't have it, it could keep us from reaching our full potential. Would you want to know about it? Excuse me. Would you want to know about it? What if there's something, an element? Because in Pentecost, we talk about this all the time. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And absolutely, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is incredibly important. The events of Acts were not the first time that that series of events ever took place. Luke chapter 9 records a very similar scene, and you can read it with me. Luke chapter 9, I'll just because of time zoom through it. But in verse number 1, Jesus calls the 12 together, and the Bible says he gives them power and authority to drive out demons, heal the sick. Verse number 2, he sends them out to preach and heal the sick. Verse number 6, the Bible says they went out preaching and healing the sick everywhere that they went. Verse number 7 through 9, the activity and the miracles were enough to capture the attention of Herod. Because he starts asking the question, who is this? Some are saying John the Baptist has come back to life. Others are saying different prophets are around. These men are going out and they're doing miracles and they're doing incredible things. They're doing what has happened in the book of Acts. They're doing it already there. To the point that it captures the attention of King Herod. In verse 10, they returned to Jesus and the word says that they reported all that they've done. They reported all of that. Now, track with me on this. In Luke, Jesus gives them power. In Acts, they're filled with power. In Luke, it's the disciples who are baptized or who are given that power. In Acts, it's the disciples who are in the upper room and filled with the power. In Luke, after they're filled with the power, the word says that the word is preached. In Acts, we know the word is preached. Peter stands up. In Luke, the sick are healed and the lame are caused to walk and the blind see. In Acts, the same thing happens. So let me ask you this question. What was it that causes revival to break out and the church to spring forth in Acts that it did not happen in Luke? I want you to think about this with me because as Pentecostal, it's important. You see, as Pentecostals, the immediate answer that we come out with is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that is absolutely true. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out. God said that, hey, wait for me after he was resurrected. He says, I'll give you power from on high to do the work that you've been called to do. But there's something that is different in Acts than it was in Luke when they were given that power. And we need to understand this and we need to get in this because it's the full gospel. It's every part of it. We can't just cherry pick that which we like. Something takes place before that, and I believe it set up the ability for when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2 to launch the church in a way that it hadn't been done up to that point. I want you to notice something. The author of Luke is the same author of the book of Acts. It's the same person who wrote both of those accounts. So we don't have different perspectives. We have the same person writing about both of those. And we need to understand that. Acts chapter 2 verse number 1 introduces the event of Pentecost this way. They were all together in one place. And this is how most of us, as we read our English translations, we read this. They were all together in one place. We read it and it sounds something like this because of the limitations of our language. You know, you've heard it. In the original, the word love has four different ways to say it. You know, agape, philae, eros, and whatever the other one is. I drew up like filio. There's four different ways. In English, we just say love. I love my wife, and I love a cheeseburger. And so we have some limitations, and I believe that's what's happening right here. Because as we read this, the word says they were all together in one place. And most of us read it this way. They were all hanging out in the same square footage. They all came together in a room, and they were all together in one room. Well, you know what? If that's correct, then we could say when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place. But that's not what the word says. You know, when I go to Walmart, I may be in the same place as other shoppers, but that doesn't mean we're together. Have you ever seen the people of Walmart? I ain't with them. I may be there, but I ain't with them. The King James gives us a clearer description. What does the King James says? They were all with one accord in one place. In the Greek, the original, when I pulled it out, I'm not a Greek scholar, so I have to get my lexicon, and I've got to read all those things. But here's what it says. In the Greek, the original says they were together, together. Together twice. They didn't misprint, you know, like we sometimes do. They were together, together. And the definition of together is one place, a collection. Combined action as in, get this, consensus or agreement or harmony. So read it this way. When the day of Pentecost came, they were united in one place. You see, we need to get this. Because before Acts, disciples were a group, but they weren't united. Luke chapter 9, verse number 46. There's an argument that breaks out. Right before doing great miracles over who's going to be the greatest. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 24. And there's a lot of examples. I'm just going to give you a couple of them because of time. But Luke 22, 24, at the Last Supper, guys. At the Last Supper, Jesus gives final instructions. He's implementing the communion process to remember his death and all of that. And what happens? An argument breaks out about who will be the greatest. Does that sound like unity? At once plotting to betray Jesus. And when Jesus is arrested, what happens? They all scatter. They're gone. They're out of there. Something happens between the crucifixion and Acts chapter 1. I need you to see this. Something happens between those. Luke, the author of both books, doesn't use the term in one accord at all in the book of Luke. But in the book of Acts, and he wrote only half of the book of Acts, but in the book of Acts, he uses that term in one accord seven times. Seven times. The clearest picture that we get of the change that happened between crucifixion and Acts chapter 1 is found in the event right after the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 2. Verse number 14, it says that, you know what, they were speaking in tongues and a crowd gathered. And you see a picture that I don't think we've ever seen in Scripture up to this point. But what the Bible says in verse number 14, it says that then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Peter stood up with the 11. You know, I had an experience like that one time, and it was incredible. I was invited to go preach at a church in Logansport, Indiana. And that Sunday morning, as I pulled up to the church in my car and I drove up there, as I drove up, I noticed two men standing at the front doors of the church, and they were looking. I didn't really know. I mean, I noticed them just because I noticed them, but then as I'm getting out of my car, they're standing right there next to me. And, hey, Pastor, how you doing? You have anything we can carry? And I had a sword with me, and we were doing a commissioning for our discipleship program that we had for men. And can we carry that for you? And they grabbed my stuff. And they said, come with us. We're going to take you in. And so they take me into the church, and they usher me off to this room, and they bring me in this room. And, you know, usually when I'm getting to the church, I want to go meet the pastor. And they said, just wait right here. They said, Pastor's going to be in here in a few minutes to meet you, and some of the men are going to come in here too. And as I stood there, all of a sudden the room started filling up. Then there were 9, then there were 12, then there were 13. I think we ended up, besides the pastor and myself, we ended up with 14 men in that room. And when the pastor walked in, they said, we want to pray for you before you preach. And so they gathered around, and we had a prayer service. And, you know, that's not unordinary, not anything. But you know what they did after we got done praying? And, I mean, they prayed. There's nobody that can pray like a group of men who are ready to go after God. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in stadiums filled with men. Camperama. You come to Camperama, you'll see what I'm talking about. But you know what? After they got done praying, they looked at me and they said, whatever God laid on your heart, you preach it. We got your back. You know, at that moment, I could have charged hell with a water pistol. To have the 14 men who just prayed down the Holy Spirit and who looked me in the eye and said, you know what? Whatever God placed on your back, on your heart, you preach it. We got your back. Man, I went out there and there was a boldness, there was a courage. I think that's what's happening there in Luke chapter 2. Peter stood up with the 11 and he preaches a message. That's the same 11 that just a few days earlier couldn't hang around and stand together as a group. It was every man for himself. And now all of a sudden here they are. They're still in the same danger. You know what? They're still suspecting that somebody had captured Jesus, snuck his body off, and the same thing that drove him to the upper room, and they were there in fear and drowned. Those situations, but now empowered by the Holy Spirit and united with one another, they stand up, and the word says they share the gospel boldly. Guys, this brotherhood that you and I have is a gift of God. And like a gift, we have to protect it. We have to celebrate it, and we have to build on it. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 says this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let me read it again. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There, this element of unity, this element of being together and being united, of one mind, of one heart, of one accord, of one purpose, is so powerful that in Scripture, God gives us four metaphors. He gives us four pictures, if you will, that paint this the importance of being united and being connected with one another. And each one of those is a picture that God gives us. And we need to get this in our hearts. We need to get this in our souls, not because it's an issue, but because we want to make sure we protect it. We want to make sure we celebrate it. We want to make sure and be intentional that what we have, we never lose. Here's the pictures. The first picture God gives us that demonstrates unity is that of a house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16 says, don't you realize that you together, all together, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives within you? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, he says this: we who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Later on, verse 22, he says, and in Christ you are being built together to become a dwelling place by which God lives by his Spirit. Notice in all of those verses the word together. You can't be part of a temple. You can't be part of a building of God by yourself, by separating yourself from the rest of the group. As we are being built together, we become a dwelling place for God. I want to be a place where the Spirit of God dwells. I want to be a place where it is. And as each and every one of us together, we're building a temple. We're building a house. We're building a dwelling place. And our ministry, as we are united with each other, and as we continue to celebrate this, and as we continue to look at that, our ministry there is creating a place for the Spirit of God to dwell. Here are some unique characteristics that go with a building and a temple. I've had the privilege of building, actually had a house built, and then actually built two houses myself. And so I've learned a little bit about building as I've gone through that. And as we're building, here's some characteristics. There are many parts to a building. There's a picture on the screen there of a house. And you can see with the skin, with a facade pulled off of it, what it looks like and what's there. And you've seen that driving around your cities and your towns. There's many parts to a building. However, it isn't a building. Get this. It isn't a building until the parts are all connected. A lot of times this project or a project similar to this starts off with piles of lumber. You have 2x4s and plywood and all kinds of things laying around. And at that point, that's not a house. It's just lumber. It's piles of it's parts, it's pieces, and all of that. But as you take those things and you begin to put them together, it has the potential of being a building. But until you put them together, then they start becoming a building. 2x4s are connected to make walls, floors, joists, rafters. As individual parts are connected, they also begin to form a house. The other part of a building is that the parts connect and then stabilize one another. And this is very important for us to understand. A wall by itself, when you put it up, it needs bracing. It can't stand by itself. But when you take that wall and you connect it to another wall and you connect it to a third wall and you connect it to a fourth wall, now all of a sudden it becomes stable. And that stability allows it to become load-bearing. And that load-bearing then begins to hold up the roof and the rafters. You take that and you add to that. You have the floor joist supporting and connected by plywood and flooring. When all the pieces are connected, they create a stable platform for walls and then for furniture. And the picture of a house is one of all the parts supporting and stabilizing one another. When we're connected, then God's presence can move in. When we're connected, then God's presence moves in. The first picture shows us that we are united. We have support and stability. And I want you to get that. We have support and stability. What do we call building parts that aren't connected? Call them lumber. Call them scrap. Call them leftovers. You can call a garage sale. You see, God didn't call you to that. God called you to what? Significance. For a purpose. And your connecting is important. We need to understand it, because in our world values individualism. Our world values doing your own thing. Our world values going and going the direction that you think is right. Every man did what was right in his own sight. Isn't that what the word says in the last days? And guys, what we have is a gift. I look forward to this event. You know what? Before I ever stood on this platform, I look forward to this event more than anything in the world. Because you know what? I would come out here not because I was going to, we get the updates and we get the new stuff and we get all of that, and that's important. But what's the best, I mean, we all love it, don't we? It's hanging out with one another. It's being able to spend time together. It's being able to be together as a group. I spoke with one district director this past year as we were traveling who told me that they didn't do district events anymore, like powwows and different things like that, because they felt that they were standalone items. And the director told me, he said, you know what, we're focusing on what happens on the weekly meetings instead. And you know what, that sounds good. That sounds and makes a lot of sense. But can I tell you about that district, what I saw? It was weak, and the leaders were just struggling and discouraged. We went into that district and we did a training event and we pulled all the leaders together. And we had the chance to sit with that district director and talk with him and share. And we talked about the power of being united, of coming together and realizing that, you know what, when I'm out there on Wednesday nights and I'm pushing through and dealing with that young man that seems to be a handful and a half, and I'm dealing with the fact that I don't seem to have enough workers, or I'm dealing with all those things and I'm going through there. There's something powerful when I come together with other brothers and sisters in the Lord and I realize that, you know what, every situation, everything that I face is common to man. We all face it. We all go, and we gather together and we start to link arms and we connect. And as we connect, we begin to stabilize and we begin to support. And that would happen. And can I tell you what happened at that meeting as we did that training and spent those 2 days, and those different district command or outpost commanders came together? All of a sudden they started getting encouraged. All of a sudden there was a joy that started coming in that place, and they began to see all of these different things that happened. And at the end he said, you know what, I understand, we're going to start doing those events again. We do training weekends like that where the leaders come together, because it's important not only for our training but our connecting. And it's so important that when we put those training events together, we schedule 30 minute breaks. Have you ever noticed that when you're in those events? And even here, when you're in events, you know what? When we give you a break, we don't give you a 10-minute break. Listen, we're guys. We don't need more than 10 minutes. So why do we give you 30 minutes? You know why we give you 30 minutes? Because you have 5 minutes to take care of what you need to, and you got 25 minutes to hang out with each other and connect. We're about connecting. We're about being relational. We're about making that happen. And that's so important. Get connected. Provide and receive support and stability. I got to run. Okay, picture number two. God gives us the importance of unity in the second picture, which is a body. And there you see the body there. Ephesians says God appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Chapter 4, verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 and 4 and 5. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have a different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. This is what it means to really be united. Look at this verse. It's crucial for you to see that. There's many parts. You know what? I did a little research. I'm not a biologist. My wife's the biologist. I'm not. It took me 3 years to get my biology correspondence course done. That's another story. But here's what I found out. The internet's a wonderful thing. The human body has 206 bones. It has 78 organs. 5 of those are known as vital organs. It has 12 organ systems. There are 640 muscles. That's just underneath the skin, guys. And then you take and you add your fingers and your toes and your legs and your arms and your nose and your eyes. All the parts have a role that they play in the body. All make a complete and a healthy body. Each part contributes to the whole. You lose a part, and what happens? The body stops being healthy and efficient. It now has to compensate. It now has to come and work. If you lose an eye, now all of a sudden your other eye has to work harder. If you lose your hearing, your other ear has to work harder, or your other senses have to pick up. The body is designed to work together, and all of them come together, and they make that. They contribute to the whole. And when you lose a part, you lose something significant. Not to mention that the part that gets taken away from the body, do you realize that after a while, it stops being healthy very quickly? A lung and a heart can only live for 4 to 6 hours outside of a body. If you take that vital organ that's so important out of the body, it continues to live for a while, absolutely. But it degenerates very quickly. Liver and a pancreas can last 12 hours. Kidneys can last 24 hours. You find that all out on the black market part. Eyes, tissue, Those all can stay viable and can be stored for up to 7 days. So you know what? When you separate yourself out, can you live? Sure, you can live for a while. But you know what? Sin's fun also for a season. I'm just saying. So the body is important. It comes together. Get this. God knows that it's so important that here's what he says. Get Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Now get this. And all the more as the last days or as the day approaches. It becomes so important. He says, don't forget getting together. And even more so as the end draws nearer. Is the end drawing near? You bet it is. You bet it is. God knew we needed to belong, and that's why he did this. In this room, there are 400 organizational leaders. We represent 8 regions, 67 different districts, thousands of leaders and tens of thousands of boys. But it takes every one of us to make this ministry complete. And I want to be crystal clear. Every one of us makes this ministry complete. There is not an insignificant or an unimportant person, district, or leader in this ministry. We all work together. We all create the whole. And we're crucial for the ministry to be healthy and to grow. When you decide to separate yourself out from the ministry, you cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life by yourself because you have to be connected. Paul warned about spiritually disconnecting in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, when he warns to watch for people who have separated out from the whole. Here's what he says. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions, and he's lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, that's us, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. It's because of this truth that it always amazes me when people come to me and they want to head out on their own, or they want to do something that's different than what the whole does. Recently, I got an email from a man who used to be in Royal Rangers back in the 80s. He's attending a non-Assemblies of God church right now, and he wants to start a group like Royal Rangers. Wants to model it after Royal Ranger, but he wants to call it something else. And he was asking permission to use the material from the 1980s Pioneer Handbook. He found that somewhere. My question to him is, why would you do that? Did you know you could be part of the Royal Rangers and not be Assemblies of God? Do you know that you could do what's up to date and what's effective? And not only that, but now you're not out there all by yourself trying to figure it out, but you're part of an organization and a body and a family who will gather around you and support you and lift you and help ensure your success. Why wouldn't you want to be there? You see, this picture shows that each of our responsibility is to be a part and to contribute to the whole. So what's the benefit of the body? The benefit of the body is health and growth. When I'm connected, I'm healthy. And when I'm connected, I can grow. The third picture that demonstrates the power of connection is that of a tree or a vine. And we have that on the screen there. John 15, Jesus says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're all very familiar with this passage. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Another translation says it this way, if you stay connected to me and I am connected to you. And here Jesus, what he's doing, he's talking about the need for us to stay connected to him. He's talking about that, listening to him, allowing him to speak to us. And he says that our fruitfulness, which is our productivity, our ability to produce as a believer, is directly tied to the strength of our connection with God. It's a principle, okay? It's a spiritual principle. And that connection is also seen in verse number 4 where he says, a branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. I've cut a branch off of a vine. When I was pastoring, I cut a branch off because I wanted to show everybody how this principle works. And I brought the branch in, and it was alive, and it was green, and you know what? It even had fruit on it. But you know what? I had another branch that I cut off like 2 weeks earlier, and it didn't look so good. Because the reality is as I'm connected, that's where health is. It has to stay attached to the vine. And the principle of connection is demonstrated in a lot of other scriptures. Matthew 12, 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Mark 3, 25. If a house is divided by itself or against itself, that house cannot stand. You know what? The Assemblies of God is the fastest growing denomination in the world. And we're opening a new church. I just heard this statistic just a few weeks ago. We're opening a new church every 17 minutes. I want that to sink in. That means in the time that we've sat here, we've had like four or five churches open somewhere in the world already. That's powerful, guys. That's powerful. And somebody says, oh, you know what, people are not going to church anymore. The church is, you know what, sometimes people say things and we believe things and we think, oh, man, that's truth, and it's not truth. What makes us effective? Two things: the power of the Holy Spirit and cooperation. You see, the Assemblies of God is a unique organization in the sense that what they do, we have this thing that's called voluntary cooperative fellowship. Every church in the Assemblies of God is autonomous. That means we are self-governing. Our headquarters, while they have regulations for our pastors to follow, each church has its own unique set of bylaws and documents to govern it. However, when a church or a pastor becomes part of the Assemblies of God, they agree to be part of what's called a voluntary cooperative fellowship. And that means you can do your own things. We don't tell you what you have to do, but you commit yourself to voluntarily give up that right so that you could be part of something else to accomplish and to do greater and bigger things than you could do by yourself. Voluntarily cooperate. Voluntarily connect. And you know what? That cooperation gives us incredible potential. None of our missionaries, I talk to pastors and I talk to missionaries from other fellowships and other denominations, and I hear this over and over again. They say, you know what? What you do is incredible. Missionaries are amazing. Our missionaries, when they go on the field and they raise money, all they raise money for predominantly is their living expenses and all of that. Their equipment is covered by the youth of our organization. Their resources, their literature, their tracts, different things like that are covered by the cooperation of our organization through our men's ministries and Life for the Lost. BGMC covers a variety of different things that the children from around our nation put together. Last year, BGMC, in 14, what? Last year, BGMC had given just over $6 million. This past year, BGMC gave $7 million. $1 million increase. Isn't that incredible? Praise the Lord. And you know what that made that possible? It was people from all around the nation, boys and girls, men and women gathering together, giving nickels and dimes and pennies and quarters and all together putting in there, and that went forward. That was in addition to what it took to run all the churches and all the missionaries and all the other things that were necessary. The power of cooperation. Unity, get this, guys. You can tweet this. Unity releases God's favor and resource. The picture of the branch or the vine demonstrates that power flows through connection, and it's true in every area of our lives. You know what? I have a tool up here, and I brought this tool because I wanted to make this point. This tool is a saw. You like that? I don't even know how to. No, I'm not going to even ask how to use it. This saw has the potential to do work. This saw can do work. I can come up here and I can begin to saw. And you know what? I can sit here and I can start sawing. And will it saw through this thing? Absolutely it will. It has the potential and the ability to do work. But you know what? That potential isn't released until I take this saw and I connect it. And when I take it and I connect it, and now all of a sudden that saw isn't out there by itself, is there more potential? You bet there is. Guys, the power of being connected. You can be by yourself and you can accomplish stuff. Or you can make a dedication and a commitment and say, you know what? I'm going to make sure I stay connected. Have you ever had a tool and you're working on it, especially if it's an air tool and the power gets unplugged? And you know, that thing works for a little while and all of a sudden you're shooting blanks. And that nail doesn't come out. What happened? It'll keep working for a while when you're not connected. You still have potential because you know what? You're a child of God and the Spirit of God. But when you lose that connection, when you lose that unity, the potential disappears. The power disappears. And it's important for you to be able to understand that and see that. So that's the body. One more picture. Let's go to the last one. The final picture that demonstrates the benefit of unity is the family. Family are God's plan and the chosen metaphor that he uses for his church because of the reality we see every day. A family that's working together, is accepting and loving, is a safe place, a place where you can belong, it's healthy. But a family that's not united and not working together is dysfunctional. It's weak and it's falling apart. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says this: I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. Colossians 3:14. Most important, love each other. Love is what holds you all together in perfect unity. This weekend, we saw the power of unity when the family of Royal Rangers, when the brotherhood of Royal Rangers came together as a nation. And not just our nation, but literally across the world. We got emails from Latin America, from the Caribbean, from different places of individuals. And we sent out an email, and many of you saw the email, and we said, hey, we know that we can't all be at the service, but if you would, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, if you would just lift up your prayers and pray for the family and for the service. And we had people all around the world who at 2 to 3, or between 2 and 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, were lifting up. And that was powerful. But you know what? We don't just do it for the famous or the well-known. But it's more obvious there because we all know of the need and are aware of the need. But it happens with the less known. Just recently, I heard the story. Michael Keese. Where are you at, Michael? Wave at me. There you are. Back in the back, backslider. Never mind. I'm not going to use his illustration. All right. You'll move up now, won't you? Michael Keese shared the story. One of his commanders, Mark Schneider. Mark Schneider, one of our Royal Ranger commanders, was on a business trip to Aachen, Germany for his company. And while he was standing in the lobby of the hotel, and a driver in Aachen, Germany had a heart attack, died, and as he did, his foot stiffened up, slammed the accelerator, and that car went right through the lobby of the hotel. It hit Mark, and Mark was in danger of losing his life. In fact, he was unconscious, didn't come to for a period of time, and had lost a lot of blood and all of that. But ended up, they lifelined him into the hospital, and he ended up in the hospital. Michael got a phone call and said, hey, this commander. And Michael didn't know what to do. Germany, how are you going to get there? You know, and all of that. And he gets on the website, and he pulls up the German Royal Ranger website, and he gets on there, and he says, I'm just looking and trying to find out. He finds the name of a commander, and he contacts the commander. I hope I'm getting this right, Michael. But he contacts the commander, and he says, hey, there's a Royal Ranger in the hospital. Within 2 hours, that commander calls a commander who's in the town where Mark is in the hospital. Within hours of that, a Royal Ranger who doesn't even know Mark and another Royal Ranger commander are in the hospital. They're praying with him. They're standing beside him, and they're saying, what can we do to help take care of that? That's the power of family. Amen. Amen. That is the unity, men, of what we have. The family and the brotherhood and all of those things. And when you have a need, you can put it out to the Royal Ranger family and know that people all over the nation are praying. That's powerful. That's what we powerful. And we have this powerful brotherhood in Royal Rangers. There aren't many groups, guys, that have this. There aren't many ministries that have the fellowship and the brotherhood and the unity that we have in this. And you know what? It's so important. And this morning, the purpose of me sharing this is because I want us to be aware of it. I don't want us just to take it for granted. I don't want us just to go through the thing and not realize that what makes us powerful, the reason I see our future so bright and all that is because there is something unique. Not only are we anointed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not only are we empowered by God and His presence, but there is a brotherhood here that's united. And where two or three gathered in my name, two or three agree as touching anything, there is an anointing that is released. And it's important, and it's powerful there. It's a decision we make, and we have to be intentional about preserving it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 is a little-known verse. But Paul is speaking of the Macedonians in the church in this verse, and he says this, first they gave themselves fully to the Lord, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. You see, it's an intentional decision. It's something that we do in this brotherhood. We have to celebrate it. We have to protect it, and we have to build on it. And as you and I do it, it may it be said of Rangers as it was in Genesis chapter 11. Do you know in Genesis chapter 11, there's a story of the Tower of Babel? And we know that story and we hear that story. And it was an incredible story of what was happening. And after the flood, people got together and they said, hey, let's build a city. And in the city, we're going to build a tower that reaches the heavens so that we'll never be destroyed by a flood again. And the Bible says God came down and he looked. And he makes a very interesting statement. Because in Genesis chapter 11, he says, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. The power of unity. The power of unity. Unity brings support. It brings stability. It brings health and growth, power and productivity, value and security. This evening, or this morning, I want to just drive that home. You know what? As an organization, will we always get it right? No, you know why? Because I'm here. We won't always get it right. I mean, there are going to be times where we try things and they're not going to work. Are there going to be ways that we, sometimes when we do things and those things could be done better? Come on, nod at me. You're all thinking it. You bet. There's going to be times when we do things and it can be done better. But let me tell you something. I would rather do something that wasn't perfect with the anointing of God than do something that was perfect outside of the anointing. Are you with me? And so you know what? My commitment to you as the leader this week, and as we're standing here, is that you know what? We will keep. We'll get things right. We'll keep working. We'll keep doing it. But we'll do things that don't always flow. And sometimes, you know what? Here's the challenge. When an organization like ours goes through what it goes through, and I'm almost out of time, but I got to say this. When an organization goes through what we go through, at the beginning, before you ever have any transitions, it's easy because it's always been that way. But the temptation happens that, you know what? When we start to go through series of changes and stuff like that, the First Corinthians church did this. Some said, I'm of Apollo. I'm of Paul. I'm of Jesus. And Paul says, what is that? We have to be careful. We have to guard. And I'm just talking to family now, guys. And you know what? I will always come straight out to you. I'll never mince around that. You know what? And you can come to me and talk to me about anything. But you know what? Sometimes we can do that as a body. We can say, you know what? I like Johnny's way. Come on. You hear me? Oh, I like the way Richard Marriott did it. I like the way the new guy does it. No, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because none of them are perfect. None of them are perfect. None of the time will we get it 100% right. But in spite of that, anointed by God and committed to a unity, we're going to stand together and we're going to say, you know what? We have our purpose. And we're going to make it happen. And guys, when we have that, our future is bright. When we have that, what can come against us? You think the devil can stop us? Huh? You think any force or any whatever in history is going to come against us when we stand united? Not because we're perfect, not because it's my way, not because it's the way I like, but because I'm dedicated to the mission. I'm dedicated to the call. I'm dedicated that there's a generation, there's boys and there's young men who need to know Jesus Christ, who need to be dedicated and committed to one another. And that's what draws me together. Not because it's the way I like it, not because it's the way I want it, not because it's perfect, but because together we're going to reach a generation. We're going to reach more boys than we've ever reached, more effectively than we've ever reached. Are you with me? That's my dedication to you. That's my commitment to you. Men, there aren't many ministries. What one of the things when I was called and they said, would you be willing to do this? There were a lot of things that went through my head why I didn't want to do this. But you know what? There's one thing that I couldn't get away from. And that's the brotherhood. That's the brotherhood. And I know that if we have this and we commit ourselves to this, and we say, I'm with you, and you're with me. And come what may, I got your back. I'm not going to separate. I'm not going to do my own thing. It may not be right what you're doing, perfect what you're doing. But you know what? If you're the leader, that's on you and God. My job is to connect with you and say, together. And God will take care of it. God will take care of it. And together we'll take care of it. Would you stand with me real quick? We have to close this down. Heavenly Father, we stand. Would you just raise your hands and would you just make a fresh commitment to God right now? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I commit myself fresh and anew to you, O Lord, to your body, to this ministry, to my brothers and sisters. Would you just do that right now? And if you're here this morning and the Spirit of God is challenging you, don't take this as ridicule or criticism, but would you just say, Lord, here am I, and I just commit myself fresh and anew to this ministry, to this mission. I know it's not perfect. I know it's not going to get it right. I know that things aren't going to be the way they need to be or always. But you know what? You have this commitment. Together, we're going to keep working. Together, we're going to keep trying. Together, we're going to keep going after it. But more important than that, together, we're going to seek God, and we're going to walk under the anointing, and we're going to let Him build His church. Oh, Father God, here we are. Just hear our hearts. Hear our cries. Together, we just commit ourselves to You fresh and anew. Lord, allow nothing to come in to separate. Allow nothing to come in to divide us. Allow nothing, Lord Jesus, to come in and cause us to go our own ways. But allow us to walk together as one. One in the Spirit. One in the unity. One in the faith. One in the purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those who are going to help us. We're going to take communion together. And I'm going to ask those who are going to help us to come quickly, if you would, please. And just pass out the elements, if you would. You may be seated. But Jesus Christ, on the very night that He was betrayed, the Bible says, He took the bread and He took the cup. And this was an act of unity, folks. This was an act of unity that God did to bring His church together. He said, when you come together, you wait on one another. You don't start eating before the other one gets it. You don't start doing, and every man look for himself. But it was an act of coming together. And these guys are handing out the communion, and I'm going to ask you to take those. And we're going to do that together as a symbolic gesture of the fact that, you know what? We are one. We are one under the head of Jesus Christ. And I commit you to take that same attitude. To take that same spirit, and that you would take it, thank you, sir, that you would take it and you would take it home to your church. And you would do that with your pastor. You would do that with your with the ministries in your church. Listen, just bring over here. Because you know what? When the church is united, there is no devil or force in hell that can stop us. I love these things. All right. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread. Everybody been served? I'm sorry, I don't mean to rush. You pull that wafer out and just hold it in your hand. The church was important enough. You were important enough that God allowed His body to be broken. He allowed His body to be abused. The word says, by His stripes, you've been healed. I believe with all of my heart that as we take this, this isn't just a symbolic act, but I believe it's a spiritual act. And because of that, I believe that God's blessing can flow, His healing can flow. If you have a need this morning as we're about to take the bread, I'm going to ask you just simply to lift that to the Lord and in faith expect Him to work and to move on your behalf. And we're going to pray with you. But Jesus said, this is My body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Let's partake of the body together. Can we do that? The word says, in the same way after supper, He took the cup. And He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you remember. This cup, it's his promise. It's his new covenant. It's his promise that he'll always be with you. It's his promise that old things pass away and all things become new. It's his promise that you belong to him and he belongs to you. It's his promise that he'll always have his hand upon his church. The covenant, the new covenant of his blood. Let's take it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. Thank you, Lord God, that we are your body. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this ministry. But mostly, Lord God, thank you for every man and woman in this place that with one mind and with one heart are united to the cause and to the purpose of advancing your kingdom. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we walk out from here and as we walk into the rest of this conference, that, Father, we would be uniquely aware that we belong to one another, that we're connected. And in that, Lord God, is health, growth, productivity, power, everything we need to become all that you've called us to be. We thank you for that, Jesus, in your precious name. And all together we said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is somebody coming? Steve, thank you.
If you were touched by the message you just heard, why don't you show your appreciation to God and to Carl for the message he brought. And if you've got the message and you've got each other's backs, make sure you just let them know. Carl, we got your back.
I appreciate that. Let's charge hell with a water pistol.
Okay, we're going to cut you guys loose for a break. And we want to make sure you guys visit the vendors that are out there. They're here. They got some great stuff for you. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Make sure you connect with that. Make sure you're back on time. We've got a lot of goodies we give away to those that are a little early. And there's a lot of good stuff yet to go. It's a great way to start a council, isn't it? Amen. Be blessed, guys. And what about our appreciation also for our music team?